טוב, we are doing now Tamid, right? Tamid, firstly, starts unusually on Chaf Hei Beis because it is actually included in Shas, in the Shas and Shas printings as part of Mayim. I have no idea. These things are often like some arbitrary addition of this in the printer. There isn't necessarily a cheshbon that goes into it.
There isn't really much of a value in learning from the dust.
He's right, that's obviously true.
Yeah.
It just happens to, it just happens to be standardized, so it's easy to find things in it.
Yeah, but it was just cool.
Fine. In terms of Mefarshim on Tamid, what do we have? Okay, so we do have. Firstly, we have a Rashi, right? We do not have a Tosfos on this stuff.
Oh, this is all Rashi?
That's all Rashi.
Wow.
Well, or a Miyuch Rashi. I have no idea if it's a real Rashi. We have a Shittim Mekubetzes. Shittim Mekubetzes is not a Rishon. Shittim Mekubetzes is an Achron. You treat it as a Rishon in one Seder because what he did on the Masechtas that you have, that you are using it for, it was Malakate. Rishonim, he collected Rishonim. On Kochim Masechtas, he did something very different. He gives basically little comments on Rashi and Tosfos. And he corrects gear size. This can be very important, although it is much less glamorous than what he does on Nashim Nashim Nezikin. Okay, we have. Yes, we have a Ravid.
Yeah, lots of Ravid. Look at that.
The Ravid here is not the Ravid. The Ravid here is Mistam Masam Baal Tosfos. We don't know exactly who.
Why do they call it the Ravid?
Somebody made a mistake at some stage. We have the Rosh as well. I have no idea if that is the actual Rosh. I have not checked. Mistama, it is not. Because, no, seriously, it is, what did the Rosh, what do we know the Rosh water wrote on? What sort of mazakhs is the Rosh write on? What do you use? The Pirush Rosh is actually, the actual name of the Sefer is? No. The Piskei Harosh. He wrote a Sefer of Psak Halacha. What did his son write? A shorter version of the same thing. What Sefer do we have? What's that called? Very good. The Arba'ah Turim. Right? If you see, by the way, if you can show them, they don't reference it as the Arba'ah Turim. They reference it as Arachayim Ibn Ez, their question, Mishpat, and Yoredeah. What Sefer's for it? Anyway, these are Rishonim who are interested primarily in Halacha Lamaisa. So what's the chances that he wrote a running Pirush on a Masechta like Tamid?
No. Free time, you know?
Aha.
15 minutes.
Okay.
Tell you,
what is the discussion in Tamid? What do you think it's about?
Tamid Afron.
No.
Beis HaMikdash.
Wow. It's in Kochim. Okay. You did well.
Specifically he's back.
Sorry? No.
The Avodah Sanavim.
No. That's mentioned, but no.
This is someone who told me to learn Tamid because I'm a lady.
Tamid is about Seder Hayom in the Midrash.
Seder Hayom?
Yes. There are two Masechtas that describe Seder Hayom in the Mikdash. Tamid and...
Yuma.
Very good. Ooh. Right? Yuma. Right? Yuma is the other Masechta that describes Seder Hayom in the Mikdash. Now, if we're going to be honest... Which of them really describes Seder Yom HaMikdash?
Yoma.
Then why? What's the difference with Tamid?
It's not Yoma.
Well, wow, they're doing really well. He's on a roll. Yeah, what's the difference? Why is it that Tamid does not really describe Seder Yom HaMikdash? Yoma is about which day in the year?
Yom Kippur.
Right, that's right. What is special about Yom Kippur?
Everything.
Including the fact that there is a Seder Yom. Right. When I say a Seder Yom, I don't mean that there is an order in which things are done for the first couple of hours in the morning. I mean there's an actual order in which things are done this after that, etc., for the entire day. Right? The entire day is mapped out right from the beginning. That is not true on a regular day. So there isn't really a Seder. It's inaccurate to say that there is a Seder Yom in the Mikdash Blitz here.
Right?
No. They just don't necessarily do the same thing every single day. Right? It is inaccurate to say that there is a Seder Yom in the Mikdash. There's more a Seder about how they opened it up in the morning and how they closed it down at night. That is the topic of Masechas Tamid. Right?
Yeah. Opening of shop and closing of shop.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it a difficult masechet?
Yes.
What do they do in the...
But having said that, you can say the Amudim are not long, because there's a Chasicha Rul Yeskavit of Rav Mefarshim.
What do they do in the middle of the day? Would they like just offer Nedarim and Adavit and Chataisim and...
Whatever, Korbanos, or what they would do, whatever needs to be done. Korbanos, Menachos, Nesachim. Right, that was their job.
Yeah. But they'd be offering Korbanos most of
the entire day. Right, we assume... Then they would be kind of what's called a nidvas tzipor.
Oh yeah.
Right. Remember, there is a kiyum that we will discuss at the course of the sector called an ish tom. You don't say there must always be an ish. What is an ish in Tanakh?
Fire.
No.
Korban.
Very good. Most of the time it's a korban, right? There has to be a constant korban on the mizbeach. It happens to be that this is really a concession in Bayis Sheni. A number of people think, and this is nechmad, that there really in Bayis Rishon there was no need to have constant olos being brought on the Mizbeach. Right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that the Eish burned forever, and also in Bayis Sheni until the time of Shimon HaTzadik. Right? Who was Shimon HaTzadik? Not totally clear, right? There is an Eidos. Who do we know? What do we know about when Shimon HaTzadik lived?
Tanayim.
Okay, where is Shimon HaTzadik mentioned in Chazal?
Where?
Mishnah Knesset HaGedoylo.
Very good. Which Masechta?
Sanhedrin.
No.
Pirkei Avos.
Very good. They're doing well. Somebody's been doing his Musar. Right? So, Shimon HaTzadik, I am Mishayore Anshei Knesset HaGedoylo. He's the last one from the Anshei Knesset HaGedoylo, right?
You mentioned this.
Oh. Baruch Hashem. Good to hear you're paying attention to me then. Right? Shimon HaTzadik was for the last one of the Anshei Knesset HaGedoylo. When was the last one of the Anshei Knesset HaGedoylo? We don't know. Right? The Gemara in Kiddushin tells a story that it was around the time of Alexander the Great. Right? When Shimon HaTzadik went out in his priestly vestments outside the Beit HaMikdash, which is Aser, as the Gemara says, but it was a Shach Chok, so it was Mutter for him. Right? And in the process, he saved the Beit HaMikdash from Alexander the Great, who had been incited to destroy the Beit HaMikdash by the... Who? The Shomronim, the Samaritans, right? Because they where did they think the Beis Hamikdash should be?
Shem,
Haragrizim, close to Shem, right next to Shem.
There
might be the other thing that some of the historians think is maybe Shimon HaTzadik was Shimon Minya Din Yoma, Shimon Ben Matisyo Chashmuna.
Ooh, that'd be good.
He definitely was a Kohen Gadol. So in that sense, it makes sense. It feels a little bit late. The Tkuf of the Anshei Knesset HaGedoylo continued that far. That was about the year 130 before the Common Era. The advantage of it is that it allows us to... the advantage is that it makes sense with the chronology of the Zugos afterwards. Remember, who followed Shimon HaTzadik? So Antignes Yesh Soichon after that, so the Zugos. Right? Mishnas. Pairs of people who work together, and Asnasi and Avbezdin, who ran Sanhedrin together, right? So, and the last of Sukkot was Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai lived a little before the Korban. So in terms of the time, if I have a 130-year time gap to cover, that's doable. If I have, four pairs of Sukkot, I think? Right? If I have 300 years, then there's people missing.
Two Shimon HaTzadiks.
So that's what some people think. Kitzur. Anyway, Seder. Right? Bishlisha, the truth, a lot of it is based on how you date Sefer Ben Sira, because there's a long period in Sefer Ben Sira about how you, about Shimon HaTzadik, so...
Do you think people should be learning Ben Sira?
Question for another time. Okay. Bishlisha Mekomois HaKohanim Shomrim BeVeis HaMikdash. The Kohanim guard the Beis HaMikdash in three places. Okay, just right off the bat. Whose responsibility is it to guard the Beis HaMikdash? Sort of, right? It was both, right? The parsha in Korach, right? No? Korach. We hear about the Kohanim of God, about a guy in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Jews, right? Kulanu mas, no, we're all going to die, because kolakarevi mas, everybody comes close to the Kodesh, dies. Hashem Baruch Hu says the Kohanim will make sure that you don't come too close, that way you don't die. Right? Ayin Shalom, the Farshim, if you think that's praise for the Jews or not, but one way or another, that is what happened historically.
The Kohanim Korach.
I'm sorry? So it's really a little bit both, right? The Kohanim got it and the Levim got it, but the Kohanim didn't prevent the Levim from being miscarried too much as well. Right? We know that, for example, Al Tachreis Sheva Sakasi, right, says the Pasuk. Says the Pasuk when they were attacking up by Smikdash, they had to be careful to do it in such a way that Kehasim wouldn't see the Aron Abris, because if they saw it, then they might die. Okay? What time?
All the time.
No.
Morning and night.
At night time, right? When the Beis Hamikdash is closed and nobody's doing anything, and remember, in Beis Hamikdash, very, very little happens at night. Right? Not nothing, but very, very little. So there are three places where the Kohanim are going to guard the Beis Hamikdash to prevent anybody from coming in and out. Right? Beis Avtinas. One of the places was called Beis Avtinas. The second one was called Beis Hanitzai. So all these will be discussed in the Gemara, so I'm going to not explain them for the moment, okay?
Cool.
And Beis HaMokeid.
We get like a picture of like a Beit HaMikdash.
That wouldn't help for this.
So you get like a Beit HaMikdash sketch.
Couldn't hurt. It's a good thing to have anyway. Right?
I'll try to open it
up. Boom.
But like I'll wow. Do it for an outsider.
Oh, Gevaldik. Okay.
Thanks.
Oh.
There you go. Right? Okay, fine. Beveis Avtinas uveveis Hanitzos. So in those two places, Hayu Aliyos Harovim Shomrim Shan. Right. So in Beis Avtinas and Beis Hamoked, there were what's called Aliyos Harovim. They were sellers. Harovim Shomrim Shan, right? And what are the Rovim? The Rovim of the young Kohanim, right? Meaning the youngest Kohanim would sleep there. Okay? Just parenthetically.
These are the sellers.
The attics. Like second floors. Right? Beit HaMoked Kippah. Beit HaMoked was, what's a Kippah?
Dome.
Very good. Right. Uvais Gadol Haya, it was big. Mukav Rovdin Shel Ev, and it was surrounded by stone. Ziknei Beis Av Yoyshayim Sham. What's the Beis Av? We just discussed this in Sukkah.
Mishmaros.
Very good, right? The Beis Av is another name for the Mishmar. Another name for the... Not the Mishmar, for the family which includes the Mishmar. The Mishmar... The broadly speaking, the watch of the Kohanim divided up. There's three watches of the Kohanim during the day, three watches during the night. Right, the Kohanim had shifts basically. Right, and then the Ziknei Beis Av was in charge of all of this business for that week, for the week that family was there. Right, so the elders of the family would sleep there.
I understand. Were they guarding or sleeping?
A little bit of both. I mean, they were sleeping, right? They need sleep. They can't not sleep for a week.
Oh, fine. So they would sleep and guard.
But they were sleeping there, obviously. It was more than it was their job to look after the Beis HaMikdash, right? So they're sleeping in certain strategic locations, okay, basically, fine. Right? That's the idea. And they had the key to the Azara. Remember, very, very little happens in the Beis HaMikdash at night. So the Azara is locked. Right? Nobody gets in. This is the case, not a case of nobody gets out, but nobody's in there. Right? Nobody gets in. Pirkei kehuna ish kesilsoi ava aretz. Right? The young Kohanim. Right? They would take off their big dick kehuna and put it on the ground. Right? Meaning, what's this? Eloi ha yushenim a big dick kodesh, eloi poshtim a nichnose tachas rashenim. Rather, they, what does that mean? They wouldn't sleep dressed in their big dick kehuna.
They'd rather sleep with their heads on it.
Yeah, they would use it as a pillow.
How's that more
covered? This is the only... How is this covered? What's the answer? No chassidish rashas.
It's not covered.
No! No chassidish rashas, I said. Huh?
Oh, so it's not covered.
But so what's the point then?
But they're off duty, I don't know.
And they can't disgrace Kedusha.
Has been losing its Kedusha.
The big
day
kahuna don't have
Kedusha. The big day kahuna do have Kedusha.
It's the kadosh to be used for sleeping.
No.
The head is the seat of the neshama. So they put a rest on.
No, because they use rushes. No. Because they can't wear it, big day kahuna have kilayim in them. Right? They cannot wear the big day kahuna when they're not in shalom chasat veda, unless which one of them can? Very good, the kohen gadol can. All the other kohen can't. There is a machlokes tanoim, machlokes rabbi and rabbi or rabbi Eliezer. Do the big day kahuna in fact have kilayim in them? We ask him that they do.
Oh, wow.
But since the big day kahuna have in fact kilayim in them, they can only be worn b'shas avodah.
Why don't they hang them up? Why do they
have
exclusive
people? Stephen doesn't know where to hang them up. Right? Anyway, you'll end up getting stuff with who, which one belongs to who.
Yeah.
Remember, they have to be the right size. Like, actually, that's a requirement. Right? They got. They would sleep on them. There is a discussion at several points in Shas. Why is that not a problem with Kilayim Derech Hagadah? Right? So what's the answer, right? What's the potential of Kilayim sleeping on it? Or is that a problem with Kilayim?
Really not.
So Pashas not because the Sarayat is not. The reason why is obvious. Sleeping on top of something does not constitute using it as clothing or a covering. There is a Kashas, as the Gemara says, Midirabon, and we're worried if a cloth might come over and cover them. And that would be a problem for Kilayim, but we're not worried about this particular place.
Hypothetically,
yes.
What happens if you sleep with your hands and
not? That's exactly the sort of thing we're worried about. Sorry. Umitzkasin b'chusatzman, and they would obviously, they're in the Beis Mikdash, they're not going to walk around naked. Right, let's wait. Do we allow nakedness in the Beis Mikdash? Wrong. When?
Oh, sotah.
And that's not real nakedness, that's, you know, torn clothing. Very good, the torn gadol is torn in the mikdash on Yom Kippur, right, in the Azara Bichal, right? Is there nakedness in the mikdash that makes the mikdash? The answer is, well, sometimes. But, although the truth is that the Pshutesh of Mikra has nakedness in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right, the Kohen Gadol strips in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and leaves his clothing there. And already the Midrash Eilach are like, no. It is Paforia Terrible response. And like, we don't really don't pass it, and I believe that's like, that wasn't never the intention, but nevertheless, that's certainly what the Pesachim sound like. Right? So, the answer is there nakedness in the Mikdash? Sometimes. But having said that, obviously you don't want to have too much. You don't have more than you absolutely need to, so they would wear a pajamas. Right? Ira Keri Lecha Mehen. Okay, what's the problem? Obviously, you're sleeping there. It's Mikdash, right? What could happen? Potentially Keri, right? Okay, what's the din? What happens with the Bal Keri? Where is he allowed to go and where is he not allowed to go?
Oh, he's stuck here.
Okay, very good. So you know the answer. Yes. You can pass in the title, yes.
To Rabbanan, he can't even go anywhere here.
Ah, so what's the problem?
He's there.
He's in there, right? A Baal Keri.
He can't even go there.
What? Yeah. Doraisa, he can't be in the Mikdash itself. De Rabbanan, he cannot be anywhere on Harabais. We usually assume Darabanan. He can't be anywhere on Harabais. If he sees Kerry in the middle of sleeping in during his week in the Beis HaMikdash, we have a very serious problem. Why? The Beis HaMikdash is locked. What is he meant to do? Right? How is he going to get out? He's not allowed to be there.
He can go to one of the elders and get
Maybe. So that's not what he does. Right? Yotze veholech lo b'mesiba ha'elechas le'tach zabira. Right, so he would go basically into a tunnel that went underneath the mountain. Right? V'neiros dolkin mekanon akanon. On either side of the tunnel there were candles. Why are there candles? Very good. Very important. It's a tunnel in the middle of the night.
Are you just making sure we're logical?
Yes. Right? Ad shehuma giele. It's a tefillah. Right, he's going to tunnel. That's the solution.
That's clever. So they're like tunnels under the Beit HaMikdash.
There's a mikvah under the Beit HaMikdash.
Dafka for this purpose?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in the... book I found in the library. It's great. It's got 10 tours of the old city that you can walk. And one of them shows the tunnels that they were going down.
Gibaldic. But Umedura Haisa Sham. And in that mikveh, there was a bonfire. Why was there a bonfire? Very good. It's cold.
And who would maintain all these lights on the bonfires?
What do you think? Khanim Avim, somebody, I don't know, to return the business. There's somebody who would do it. Like, it's not so complicated.
It's a lot of work for a very uncommon occurrence.
The Givonium.
I guess there are lots of males.
And that's how you have hundreds of young men that make the mikveh slide.
The foreign workers.
Sorry?
The foreign workers.
Whatever, right?
Uveit
HaKivei Shel Kavod. Right, and there was a Beit HaKivei Shel Kavod. There was a very respectful toilet.
It was covered.
Really?
Okay. Parenthetically, by the way, the question of whether a toilet Bismar Zeh has a din of a Beit HaKivei, right? Since we have reached toilets, right, in the Gemara, we might as well talk about that. Right? This is a Machlekes HaPoskim, Rav Henkin Senior. Not Rav Yuroso, Rav Yisrael Yahu Henkin, Zech Tzavik Tibracha. Paskin, that a Beit HaKivei, a toilet, does not have a din of a Beit HaKivei, so is it? Why?
Because the...
Can you think about Torah in it?
Oh.
Can you answer Amen when you're in it?
So they could hear or no?
What?
A Beit HaKivei is a bathroom?
A Beit HaKivei is a bathroom.
Oh, so...
Oh, because there's drainage, so the PC doesn't...
Very good. The Gemara in Brachos says a Beit HaKivei HaParsi, which is basically a basic kisei that wasn't just a hole in the ground, it was a hole in the ground that was made of slant. Right? So all the feces would sort of roll away. That the Gemara says you can say a bracha in that sort of toilet.
Really? So that's...
So it says Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, what do you think's what? Right? A basic kisei aparasi or our toilets?
Definitely a basic kisei.
Right. In addition, he pointed out that Litarkin lifted Tawa is mechusa b'mayim, right? If the feces are anyway covered in water, then the feces don't present the problem.
Oh wow.
Right? So he passed in the dark there. Rabbi Vadia said it's a little different. Firstly, in the basic kisei aparasi, the feces roll away completely on their own. They don't have to be flushed. They don't hang around even for a second. So he thought you should be machmir based on that. Rabbi Vadia has a chilta, so Rabbi Vadia is machmir. And it has to happen occasionally, right? In addition, he passed. What about the consideration that's covered in water? So says Rabbi Vadia, that's only true for feces. Not true for the toilet seat itself. We pass it like the Mordechai that the toilet seat itself is a problem if it's used for that purpose habitually. Right? Therefore, Rabbi Vadia is machmir.
Can you speak in a toilet?
You can speak, but you're not allowed to. You're not meant to shalom. You're not meant to start a conversation. Including shalom. Like, not say shalom aleichem.
Oh, so like discuss the cricket in the toilet.
If you feel the need. If you feel the need. I would add that even for Rav Avadia, it's clear that a modern day urinal is considered a basic kisei aparasi. Because it's a basic kisei aparasi, that's exactly what it was.
So in the Maskana, you shouldn't say brothels.
I think the man in the middle gets me wrong, right? Not say brothels, not that answer. Okay.
If you happen to think.
So what was the covenant of this basic kisei? Basic kisei is not a covenant. Fights, what was the covenant? There are kvodai, matza, oi, naol, neidea, sheyesham, adam, pasuach, biadosha, einsham, adam. Right, it was a very tanua place. You don't have to walk in to see if there's a guy on it. Right, this is the problem, right? You are in there is a toilet. Right, what happened? Somebody was. You need to open the door and look in to see if there is somebody on the toilet. People who are on the toilet are not at their most modest.
So not warm is closed. What is not warm?
It means that when the door was closed, you know somebody's there. The door was not closed, you know the taka, there wasn't someone there.
Does that mean that generally toilets didn't have doors in those days?
That what?
In those days, toilets didn't have doors.
No.
I mean, that's that?
Yes. I mean, it means if one could go further, they weren't always toilets, sometimes they just did it in a pit. Like, I don't mean when they were out camping for fun.
Boch Hashem, I'm bored these days.
Amen. So, we will continue, please God, tomorrow, gentlemen. Shkoyech.